to Dale Tucker, and I've got a poem I wrote. My daddy helped me with words called Tales of the High. You must know, and it is sad, that the high was slipping into the past. These are the tales of the high. The insect artist colony hidden in the tenderloin of Knoxville, Tennessee. It was terrible. It was unspeakable. The fault of accepting this offer of a rental from a roach-infested produce company deep down on Forest Avenue. The high was a two-story shotgun farmhouse, unkempt, unmaintained for several scores. High were the termite-riddled gables. Low was the rent. Lavish were the weeds around the sadly rotted porch. How was it that these youthful and bright children of the earth accepted its fault? Learning, poverty, can be a virtue, and to make do. I remember the rainy January afternoon, sitting in the Jambalaya Cafe, four irrigated hillbillies with heads together over dyed dark Milwaukee beer. The same cafe incoming freshman was filled in, by the way. It was time. Time to dwell. To find heart. To huddle, as one put it. There it was that Joel Gibson, Leonard the Baccarilla, found laughter in a silly joke about moving into a health hazard area. As we were approaching the stinking Tomato Rock rental office, the joke seemed funny, and more so as we were asked by the fat-ass stag, "What be much me?" she said. Something stirred me, then to pronounce, "We wish to begin a legend, if it's all right with you." But I didn't. I don't know why. It just wasn't time. It was more special than to just give away like that, especially to a stringy-haired, balloon-hip, goofy-hip skag. We just leaned over the desk and all said in unison, "We'll take the high." The female redneck froze, as if an electrical shock snapped her eyelids wide open. Then she spun in her gray office chair with a whir that changed the wind in the small office. A mixture of odors and fumes wafted it heavily about. A cloud of ash arose from an ashtray and panicked his heart. Decaying tomatoes, damp ashes, burnt sweet coffee, nicotized vinyl, and a sick douche fume odor, and others hit the sick funk stink slam the four radiation victims from Oak Ridge. The rental skag did a hot slide backwards with her hands crossed, bearing retard fingers as she coughed, gagged, and then yanked a gob of nasty hair out of her head. And spun again. And then, when she dove at the floor, a dark gray puke jetted onto a red-hot heater coil. She barked about a gallon of thick gray slime with cigarette butts, bottle caps, and then left the gag even more on a dirty mop stream. At that time, paper, garbage, carrot cup, Comet, old clothes, whirl in a tornado in the office. A term not to bear anymore. And when I recovered, there was not a clue as to the disgusting scene. She was good at this. I remember the blur in my eyes and the gripping guttural laughter I wished to suppress when I signed the lease to the high. We received the brass keys to this palace. When we arrived at the scene, the sky was black as if a warning. We entered the hive. A damp smell of savor. Your granny's basement was there. The living room, which was no bigger than a chicken coop, was a dark maroon, shiny and slimy, the way we like it. But we painted it white, because we're white boys far from home. As we slowly negotiated the stars, we heard a rustle, as if Cheerios were gently being blown from one side of the room to another. When we arrived, it was, oh God, awful. We had disturbed some kind of rote congregation, say 10,000. They were in a horrible panic to get into a small crack along the wall. I don't know why we meant them no harm, but they still poured into the crack in the wall as if themselves were effluent, finding no resistance. The noise of the little black critters was almost deafening. The rustle, like a thousand strips of crepe paper being dragged over a cardboard box. But then our attention turned to the ceiling, which awed some and nauseated many. Hundreds of silverfish dashed about in the rotten black tissue of the ceiling. So many of them oozed and slithered, we could make them out through the clouds of flies and mosquitoes. Leonard seemed worried. He said, "Something has to be done." I thought he meant we must move in today. Leonard envisioned the extraordinary reconstruction scheme that would span many days. I was concerned. How much would it cost? Leonard says, "Would you rather live in this?"